everybody. Episode 21, Forged by Fire. I'm here with Alex Montalenti, Miami by way of New York. Got a great business that he's going to share in a better story. For those of you guys that are tuned in for the first time, what is Forged by Fire? Forged by Fire is a podcast about the pieces of our career, our journey, or our success that were hard. There's so many things out there that's great content and beautiful stories about all the good and all the things that worked. But what about the stuff that didn't work? What about those fires? Because if you're going to be an entrepreneur, sales professional, a success story, you're going to be in the fire, and you're going to be in the fire a lot. And people will tell you that it becomes successful, that it's those fires that forge them into who they are today. So my name is Nick Sarticola, from Michigan originally, blue collar, middle class upbringing. I want to be successful one day, found entrepreneurship at 18. Built a business through sales and sales leadership, became a millionaire at 25. Created a company that did a couple billion in sales through my 30s. We had the largest weight loss and fitness challenge on the planet. A couple million customers, 19 countries, and a partridge in a pear tree. On that journey, it was the highest of all the highs that anyone could experience and the lowest of all of the lows. So the most successes and the most failures that any human could probably experience in a decade, which is really what led me to create this podcast is, those stories of the failures I've found were what really resonated with the people that really wanted to grow and learn. So we're going to turn to our guest today, Alex. Thank you for being on. Good to see you again. Alex is not only a great entrepreneur, but also a friend. Our children used to do gymnastics together. I'm an investor in this company and just great guy to hang out with. So thank you for being here. Appreciate you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So give us the Cliff Note version. Where are you from? What were kind of the early days? And then, we'll dive into some of the fires.
All right. I grew up in Long Island, New York. My mom's Romanian. My dad's Italian. My mom was in real estate. My dad was a technology consultant. So I became like a real estate technology guy. I went to college, University of Vermont, and I started entrepreneurship right there. Like, took entrepreneurship 101 as a class, wrote a business plan, and that summer I graduated, went back to New York, and my buddies called me and they said, "Remember that business plan you wrote? Well, we're doing that business." And I'm like, "Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
thanks for the invite.
Is that legal?"
Yeah, they're like, "Why don't you come up and work with us and do sales?" So I went 2 years. We built a website for the University of Vermont and all the kids so they could order food online. They could order groceries online. Like, before Instacart, we actually put an entire grocery store online and kids were ordering food and getting it delivered, and we were making 10% on every order.
Was it delivered in Vermont by like horse and buggy? Like, how does
So we hooked up with a courier service that actually had refrigerated
coolers.
Yeah. And we would e-fax the order to both parties.
Okay.
And then they would go pick up the order and deliver it. So then once we did it for that, we did it for 50 restaurants. So
oh,
we
no
did
shit.
Like Uber Eats back in the day. This was in like 1999. Yeah.
Wait, 99.99.
Yeah.
I thought, okay. So in 99, I got my first email address. I was 19 years old, turning 20. I didn't have a cell phone yet. And you're already creating Uber Eats and Instacart before they exist.
They were fax machines, so it worked.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was really early. It was too early, right? So we realized that nobody had websites, so we had to build websites. Yeah. We built a company called Burlington Internet Company, started building websites for everybody in the area. That went great for 2 years. One of my partners didn't work out well with him, so I went back to New York, found my business partner who I'm with now. We've been business partners for over 22 years.
Nice.
I'm connected with him longer than my marriage. My marriage didn't last that long. It lasted 10 years. So 22 years of my business partner.
This is getting weirder. We never talked about these parts, but my marriage lasted 10 years. And my business partner with Blake Mallon, shout out Blake, I met him when he was 19 and I was 21. So it's 22 years right now.
It's the same.
I'm 21, 43, 22 years.
Cool.
It's getting eerie. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys link up, start a new business?
We started doing websites because we knew the website business. I knew how to do website sales. He had a team in Romania that was building websites. So we started outsourcing them, building websites and cranking it.
Okay.
Then we got a big deal with the New York City Health and Hospital Corporation, became consultants, built the intranets for the hospitals.
How old are you at this time?
Yeah, I'm in my 20s.
This early 20s though.
I was cranking it, yeah.
So you're early 20s, you're like, "I'm consulting to the hospitals." Most people are like, "I'm early 20s, taking my 6 year of college."
Yeah. We had $1 million contracts. It was crazy. Lots, a lot of money came through. I was buying land in Romania. I was buying apartments in Argentina, sold all that stuff. But yeah, it was crazy times.
Wow. Early adopter and early age to be so assertive. What kind of triggered that type of entrepreneurialism in your late teens, early 20s?
So I watched my dad being a tech consultant and being an entrepreneur. He was working at the Health and Hospital Corporation and kind of brought me in. And I also saw my mom struggling with finances and trying to pay the mortgage as a single mom. So I was like, I'm going to help out. I want to pay the mortgage. I don't want my family to struggle. So I started paying half the mortgage and then started doing the mortgage payments for the family.
That's very cool.
And I was like, I just want to be in control of the money situation. I don't want to come from this fear-based, you know, we're not going to make the mortgage payment. What's going to happen? How are we going to retire? All this stuff. I was like, I'm not playing that game. So that's really what got me going to start with. And then I read, you know, a book about recurring revenue, the E-Myth.
Okay.
And I'm like, I got to build a recurring revenue business.
Is that Gabriel?
I think it was Gerber.
Gerber. Yep. Michael Gerber.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So my mom was like, oh, let's do a restaurant. I love restaurant. I love food. And I'm like, Mom, that's the worst business you could be in. There's no recurring revenue.
18 hours of work. Yeah. Everyone hates you. So complaining nonstop.
So my mom was doing real estate and I came home and I started learning like what she's doing. And I'm sitting there in front of the computer one day and it said, we can take all the data about properties and give it to you, and now you can put it on your website. And I'm like, wait a second, how can I automate that? So me and my business partner created an automated solution for realtor websites.
Okay.
We were the first company to do that in Long Island, New York. And that's how we created recurring revenue, again, like $299 per month from real estate offices to update their websites automatically.
So you're very innovative. We've talked a lot about current ideas, but I haven't really known your past, but you're super innovative. Like you look at things and be like, how do we figure out how to use technology to make it better?
Yeah, for sure.
And I admire people like that because I don't have one ounce of that in my body, right? So if I meet an innovator and I believe wholeheartedly in their idea, then I'm going to make sure a billion people have that idea, right?
Let's go.
You know, so I was always best when paired off with a person who is had the ability to look at things and improve them, make them better, innovate, et cetera. And then I would go influence the people to want to do that. Uncomplicate the message, unfuck the message so that the average person can accept it or whatever. So yeah, I didn't know that much. That's bravo.
Yeah,
bravo
to you.
So on this journey, we're going to go through two fires with you, which is, you know, usually you only have time for one, but the one story you told me isn't necessarily the business forged by fire moment, but it's such a great learning lesson that we had decided, you and I, outside to talk about this. So you're in your mid-20s at this time?
Yep.
Okay. So you're in your mid-20s, business is going great, but you're burning out. So walk us through.
Yeah, so we're building this real estate company. We called it the Realtor Solution, then we called it eRealty Solution, and we're launching all these websites for all these brokerages, and I'm getting all the websites built overseas in Romania, which meant I had to not only sell all day, but then stay up all night to get them developed.
Yep.
Right, so then we had two people in Romania, then four people in Romania, then six people in Romania, then 200 offices are using our solution. I'm cranking all hours, barely sleeping, and one day I'm with my business partner, we're like talking about business in Queens, New York. Finally gotten to the point where I had my beautiful BMW the way I wanted it, dream car, black trim, M package, souped up. And we're both like talking about how awesome our cars are and like we've made it and like things are going great in our 20s. And I drive home after dinner with him and I pull up to a red light near my house. And I'm like, damn, it's a long red light. And little by little, my eyes start to fade. I fall asleep at the wheel. I hit the gas, I go through a four-way intersection unscathed, go through a pole and a tree, literally the width of my car, up a grass knoll into a brick wall and land in a cemetery.
The car goes through a brick wall and lands on tombstones.
Yes.
Like, if there's nothing more symbolic
right.
of you need to make a life change, it's when your car lands in a cemetery on top of...
It's almost like unreal. Like,
no.
It's like surreal. But the next morning I go back, my bumper's in the cemetery. I'm looking at the tree and the pole. I'm like, 2 inches to the left, I would have hit the tree. 2 inches to the right, I would have hit the pole. Something guided me to just go right through the middle and survive that crash. And at that moment, I realized I got to make a change. Like, the trajectory of my life was headed for disaster.
When you're, I've never, thank God, I've never fell asleep at the wheel. Was it the impact to the wall when you woke up? Did that shake you? Is it when you landed?
I still remember. Like, I landed and it was like, boom. And I opened my eyes and I see smoke everywhere. And I look and I see tombstones and I'm like, oh, shit.
Do you remember leading up to that moment in those seconds? Were you in a dream state that you can remember or recall or anything? I don't, it's a weird question, but I'm just saying.
Nah, like, I remember being at the red light.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything in between. And then I remember hitting this thump and, like, my car and yeah, it was a mess.
What time is that in the morning?
This was like 1 a.m.
Okay. So streets are empty. You fall asleep, hit the gas pedal accidentally with your right foot, with your foot. Go through an intersection. There's no other cars there. Thank God.
Yep.
You somehow go up a grassy knoll through a wall and land between a tree and a pole. If you don't believe in guardian angels, you do at this point.
Right.
You know, that's for everyone watching and yeah. For you.
At I still moment. Think it's my grandmother who, like, had something to do with that.
Pretty freaking cool in terms of, you know, being protected in that way. Not obviously what happened. The outcome, I think, becomes really good. You told me that... you had kind of known a week earlier you need to make some changes.
I knew I was stressed out. I was like super overweight. I was not, my blood pressure was through the roof. For a 20-year-old, that's not a good sign,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I invited this yoga instructor that my mom did like a class with. And she comes to my house and she's like, listen, she assesses my life and she's like, you're an extremist. You like extreme sports. You like extreme business. You got no balance. You got to balance it out. You got to back off of work and you got to like, get under control. And I'm like, get the hell out of my house. Like, I'm good. I know what I'm doing here. I'm making money. You know, yeah, I hadn't crashed my car. Literally the next week is when I crashed my car. So then I called this woman back, Michelina, and I'm like, Michelina, you got to help me. Like,
I apologize.
You're right. And she worked with me. I started doing meditation, yoga, creating my space, like looking at my health, doing breathing. First thing she said is you got to take 23 breaths when you wake up in the morning. And just take a pause. You jump out of bed. Like, I was jolting. I can still remember, like, jumping out of bed. Like,
out of curiosity, did you say to your mom, hey, I think I need to start yoga? Did your mom come to you and say, hey, I've got somebody, I think you need to try this?
I think I'll give my mom a credit for that, but I can't remember exactly.
The reason why is because you, was the grandmother you referenced, was that your mom's mom by chance?
It was. Yeah.
That's really interesting, right? So, depending on what you believe in, that... You know, you believe it was your mother's mother that protected you that night. And it was also your mother that came to you the week before it happened and said, so, you know, there's probably a lot of synchronicity in between all of that in terms of the energies. And okay, so I want to go back to the moments where you get out of the car. What are you thinking the next day? What do you think? Let's go through these 24, 48 hours of what's happening.
Well, I told my business partner about it and he's like, yeah, we got to slow down. This is like crazy. And he's like, remember like 2 weeks ago we were sitting at lunch and your lip started twitching? He's like, that's like a nervous reaction. Like, because I was like so stressed out and overtired. Like literally my lip, he's like,
hopefully not
moving on its own.
Not the best during a sales presentation.
No, definitely doesn't work for like a podcast either.
So he's like, the next one to talk loses and your lip's just going.
Exactly. So we both realized, like, we got to change it up. We got to change how we're doing business. It's not like just go, go, go. It's like, okay, take it easy. Enjoy life a little bit too, you know, that's when we started building more like team structures and backing off of like us doing all the work and things like that. But, you know, we kept going for a while with our businesses. It kept growing, but we kept hitting this max out point, like $1 million in revenue, one or two salespeople could never break through that $1 million barrier. Then another business we launched, same thing, $1 million barrier, couldn't break through it. And I got to a point where I was like pissed off. I was like, this is crazy. Like, I can't break through this level. So I started looking around. I'm like, who can I blame? I'm going to blame my business partner. He's the one holding me back, right? I'm going to blame my team. They're holding me back. Like, if they would just listen to me, we would break this $1 million and we would crush it. And then I did Landmark and realized, oh, I better look in the mirror. It's actually me. Like, I'm responsible for this. I'm the one blaming everybody. I'm the one holding everybody back because I'm a perfectionist. I got to do it my way, yeah. And it's got to be done perfectly. So I'm not even going to give it to you because you're going to mess it up. So that's when I realized, wow, I'm at the source of all this, which gave me power, because now it's like, okay, I can change the trajectory and I can start delegating and trusting and building confidence.
Leading. So perfectionism, I don't have that challenge, but perfectionism is, my ex-wife does. If I were to understand this correctly, you give people the opportunity to do things, but then you pick it all apart, destroying the relationship between the two of you. And then you just take the work away from them, getting mad at them for being so dumb that you're just going to do it the smart way, and resenting them for doing their work, and then taking on the work of everyone. Is that
all that plus really in my heart and in my soul, knowing that they're going to fail before I even give them the work?
Oh,
which is like really horrible.
That's worst intentionality. You know, like, right. Here's your failure. Right. I'll be taking this back from you soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. So, how did you change that characteristic so that you could delegate with the knowledge or the belief that person could win or succeed?
So the first thing I did is I actually flew to Romania to meet my team, and I wrote an entire apology letter and read it to them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And then I also called my business partner and released the blame, like saying, dude, this is all me. Like, you're not holding me up. You're contributing to everything that's missing. Like, you're the yin to my yang. Like, the two of us work so well together because he does the things I don't like doing, and I do the things he doesn't like doing. That's why it's such a great partnership.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
And I remember those frustrations before you start to really understand that, where you want your business partner to do more of what you do, and why are you not like me, and why are you not as good as me at this?
Right.
And then you start to realize, oh, it's because you're great at that. And in fact, don't do this ever.
Exactly.
In fact, if I catch you doing this, I'm going to whoop your ass. You do that, I do this, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and it takes a long time to figure that out.
It actually took, so it took us 6 months after that to work on a business plan together for the business we would create. It took us 6 months to actually align on the vision, the mission, what we're creating. We worked with a coach. And what we realized is that we were both on the same page, but like just the alignment of the words was different.
Different language.
Once we could put it all together, we were like, wow, we're so aligned, just like we were when we first met.
Yeah.
We just lost touch of that. And we created this vision, and we did that before we even built the company that we have now. The company we have now, if I was to show you the business plan, it's scary. The document, the company that you invested in, the one document that we created before the company existed is what this company is.
So kind of like the little executive summary.
Yeah.
You guys have seen it's fully been executed and in plan and working.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right turn. So we had talked earlier, so obviously I know where to jump. There's a point where you are probably about, I don't know, 30 years old, we'll call it. And you are where most people would look at it and say, perfect life, got everything. Got the house, got the big yard, got the cars, got the marriage.
Yep.
Talk to me about those moments. I think you were in Long Island?
Yeah, Long Island.
Yeah.
34 years old or 35 years old. Baby born, second baby on the way. Got my beautiful house, yard, jacuzzi. Loaded it up, said, I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to put it on the credit cards and like make this house perfect.
I'm never leaving this house.
Yeah,
my forever mortgage.
And after everything was done, even the rose bushes, and like I can still picture it, like everything was like picture perfect. I get on the back deck and I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? This is not for me. And I had launched a new business in Miami that I was going back and forth with my wife. We were launching it together at the time, and realized I need to move to Miami. Like I'm going bigger than this.
There's a really interesting lesson in this that you had kind of pursued a path of a keep up with the Joneses locally, but your intuition was pulling you somewhere else the whole time. I didn't know that you'd already had the business started in Miami. So the whole time your intuition's being pulled somewhere else, but you know, in Long Island, you're like, I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to make this thing beautiful and the rose bushes. And you got exactly what everyone would think that you wanted.
Right.
But the whole time, your intuition knew, what the hell are you doing this for? Even if it didn't get to the really forefront of your mind, or maybe you were doing your best job to push it down.
Yep.
Speak to that a little bit. Like how long did you know intuitively this is the wrong thing? Or was it just it all hit you like a lightning bolt?
kind of hit me like a lightning bolt. Yeah.
Give me the, I'm sitting, I want to hear this part again. I'm sitting there and what are the words that are said to yourself? What do you say back to that? Like, what's the inner dialogue?
Well, this was pre me doing Landmark, pre me getting on the same page with my business partner. I'm sitting there going, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. This business, I'm not really into it. I don't want to live in this house for the next 30 years. Yeah, okay, great school district. I could be here with my kids and all that, but I'd be bored out of my mind. Like, I'm not a grandfather yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is still me building phase.
Yeah.
So, like, get me the hell out of here. Like, I felt like I was almost, like, imprisoned by my own creation of
my house.
Like, I need to get out of here. As beautiful as it is, there's a great jacuzzi, there's a great deck. Look at that pool. It's got LED lighting. Wow, I had a custom-built pool table. I had, like, luxury wallpaper. And I'm like, no.
There's so many directions we could go with what you just said. I think the one that I'm going to go with is you made the decision to trust your inner voice and your intuition.
Yeah.
And what did you end up doing?
Ended up moving to Miami at all costs, which, you know, whatever, looking backwards, sold the house for a loss, you know, all the furniture in there, like some of it gave it away even. I just did it like in an emotional, like cut the cord.
Yeah.
Which built a lot of debt and a lot of, you know, credit card debt. And then moving to Miami, wanted to have safety for my kids. So I put them in like private school and took out loans for that and just built more debt, thinking I can bounce back from anything, knowing that I can bounce back from anything, but taking a little longer to bounce back. So here I am in Miami. I've sold everything. Now I'm down to like this Miami life. And now I got to like bail my family out and build the future, right? Build this new company, build this new thing. That's when I did Landmark. That's when I said, okay, I'm going to clean up my finances. I'm going to get everything under control. And I took responsibility for everything. And not everybody always goes along for the ride.
Yeah.
Right. So then next thing that happens is I'm building this new business, flying all over the place to launch it, leaving my ex-wife at home, leaving my kids at home. Being sad about that, like, especially the kids part, I can still remember, like, going to the airports. Sounds silly, like, but almost makes me cry thinking about it. Is like, I'm like, I got to get them a gift, right? Like,
dad guilt.
Yeah, like the dad guilt. Like, I'm not there. I got to bring them home something every single time.
Yeah.
But really, you know, I need to spend the quality time with them. But I'm like, I'm building this for the future. I'm building this $50 million business, right? Like, in my mind, it was like this $50 million recurring revenue business that I'm just gonna build, which is gonna provide the freedom, security, and all that. So I'm going at it. Next thing I know, my ex is like, okay, divorce. And I'm totally sideswiped. I'm like, hey, but I thought I was building this thing for our family, for the future. She's like, no, I'm unhappy. I want out of here. So I'm like, all right. Looking at all that, I throw myself back into Landmark communication course to understand where is this coming from. And I'm like, oh, again, look in the mirror. This is what I created. How can I be responsible for this? And so I was able to actually do mediation in less than 4 hours. I almost wanted to write a book like The 4-Hour Mediation, because I was able to take responsibility and really look at the whole thing and not like get into the blame game,
sure,
or like the fighting game. Just looking at, for the kids too, how do we have like an empowering
what's
future?
What's best for them?
Right. And that really, you know, forged by the fire, like that's when the fire got in me. I remember crying in the closet, like, you know, grown man sitting in the closet on the floor, bawling my eyes out, like, this is where my life is right now. I got to bail out of this and I'm going to build this freaking company and it's going to be huge and I'm not stopping.
And that's your first year of business.
Yeah.
Same business that you're in today, right now.
Yeah.
You make the beautiful plan. You're like, okay, you go through the courses. Like, it sounds like a lot of times when you're looking for certainty, you go to growth, right? Which a lot of people are like, okay, I'm looking for certainty, I'm gonna go to the gym. I'm looking for certainty, I'm gonna go run because I can control that. I'm looking for certainty, I'm gonna go party because I can control that, or travel. For you, it's like, I do personal growth.
Yeah.
And which is a really, really good habit to have when you're like, what's something I can hold on to that I can count on that I know right now will work? Personal growth.
Yep.
And back on track. So you're in a startup while and probably double debt, it sounds like. You're in the debt from 2009 of leaving the mansion behind with the rose bushes.
Yep.
Selling at a loss. Then you took on debt coming to Miami.
Yep.
Made a decision, I'm going to get the hell out of here by going kicking ass with this company. And that ends up being also the thing that ultimately ends your marriage. And you're now, like, I'm trying to look through your lens. Okay, I thought I was doing this to solve that problem and that problem for all of us. And now that's been broken up. And I still have that problem. And I still have that problem. And I still now have this new company, which is a, like, that's a overtime parenting job all the time, 24/7, right? How the hell did you manage out of that? Like, how do you get out of that? The complexity of that fire is business, debt, kids, what becomes ex-wife, startup, business partner, employees. Like, the complexity of that is major.
Yeah, and I think I remember looking at like Salesforce.com sales jobs and going, I'm a really good sales guy. I can just go get a job right now. Screw this entrepreneurship. I've had enough. It screwed up my family. Ooh. It screwed up this. It screwed up that. I should just go get a job. I'll make 200K, call it quits. And I kept looking at that and I'm like, yeah, but there's a ceiling there. There's a ceiling there. There's a ceiling there. I was like, I don't like ceilings. I like to break through things. So I kept looking at that and I kept looking at the business and I'm like, I'm just going to freaking go for it again. And I went for it and I raised money. And in our first year, we did 300K. Second year, 450K.
Where's the million at?
Yeah. Then we went to 600K. Then we hit 1.3 million. And now we just did 3.1 million.
So you broke past the milli.
Yeah.
Because you had said that you kept getting to a million and everything would fall apart. Got exactly. To a million.
True.
So you went 600, 1.3, 3 million.
Yep.
Never looking back to a milli.
Right.
Hopefully the new ceiling to break for you is 10 million a year in sales. So I didn't know that you'd almost throw the towel in. You were just like, fuck it, forget this entrepreneurship stuff. And anyone that's an entrepreneur out there who knows, it's kind of, actually Lee, you and I were talking about this. The movie, The Matrix, the first one, which she hasn't seen because she's too young. So where there's that moment where Cypher is meeting with the agent, Agent Smith is like, just put me back in.
Yeah.
Wipe my fucking memory, put me back in. I don't care. Make me a rock star. I don't even want to remember this anymore. Unfortunately, once you become an entrepreneur, you can't wipe your memory. You can't just be like, put me back into the matrix. I'll be good. And thank God you didn't throw in the towel and go back in. You know. So how long did you stay in that moment of, I'm just going to go back in the matrix?
Well, it's when I'm sitting there and it's like, okay, divorce is there. The debt is there. What am I going to do for my kids? Where's my kids' savings? Like, where's my future? And I'm like, okay, security, go back to the safety blanket. You know, my family's telling me, just go get a job. Everybody around me is like, blah, 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 go get a job.
You've ruined everything.
My ex-wife was like, go get a job. You're a great salesperson. You do fine. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I was so built for this.
Yeah.
Like, I was born for this. I've been building for this. And now I've got everything to do this. So I'm freaking doing it.
Days? Well, just the idea of going to become a salesperson. Is that a days, weeks, or months thought?
That's weeks.
It's weeks. I think, you know, because you and I were just hunting through your story. I think that's the moment of like the deepest part of the fire. Because those series of events happened that all sucked. Plus the pressure of a startup, business partners, and staff. Now you're questioning whether or not you should even go do that. Should I, my whole identity is entrepreneur, but was my identity wrong? Should I,
right.
Parents are saying, go get a job. Ex is saying, go get a job. Everyone, the guilt of that and the weight of that. And for weeks, you almost broke. You almost went back. Never fucking break. Never break.
Exactly.
Never break. Like, how many people would have never made it through that? Now, what has that, getting through that, to then go, I think you said 300, 600, 1.3, 10. Is that the exact 4 years since that moment?
Yeah.
If you saw in terms of timeline, I think it is, because you said company started like 19.
So 2018, we did 300K. 2019 went up to 450.
That's where the divorce
hits? 2000, yep.
Okay.
2020 hit about 600 and change. 2021 hit the 1.35 million.
Broke through the through the ceiling.
And then we just passed 2022, 3.1 million.
Oh!
Yeah. And this is the year that I'm done with all my debt.
So all the stuff you've been carrying from a decade ago.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. So this is the year of profitability and harmony.
This is, so let's talk about like the lessons and what's the beautiful part of this. I have such admiration when I get to hear stories. Like, this is why I do this. Like, I get fired up. I don't know if this is good for any of you watching this or you, but I get fucking fired up when I sit across from people with these stories. And I like recapping it because it excites me and fires me up. Debt on debt on debt, startup, kids, 300,000 in sales, first year of business, and divorce hits. A company is still going and growing, but you're in the point where for weeks, should I just walk away from my own company and go be a sales rep somewhere so I can, you know, make sure I got some security? You say, fuck it, I'm going all in. That 350 turns into, sorry, the 300 is already 450. That 450 goes to 6. 6 goes to 1.3. 1.3 goes to 3. Should I ask if 3 is going to 6 in 2023 since you keep doubling?
3 is going to 7.
He's going to 7. He said it was 3.2, right? So, yeah, so a little over. So the goal for this year is to double. Best lessons, key takeaways, looking back on that fire and you know, what it turned you into today.
I mean, the biggest one is 100% responsibility. That's what gives me power. When I sit there and blame and go, oh, I can't believe my ex-wife is divorcing me. Oh, I can't believe my business partner isn't doing X, Y, and Z. Oh, why can't they build a product that I could sell? I could sell anything, helicopters. But then looking at it and going, all right, I'm 100% responsible for how it goes. I don't have to be the guy making the widget, but I'm responsible for how it goes. So once I took that and owned it 100%, including the communication, the language, the everything, it's like, that's power.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I can own my destiny. I can own my future versus like having be it circumstances coming at me, right?
Fantastic story. Let's take generic. Let's back out of your story. Just go generic. Three great tips for any solo professional, solopreneur, sales professional, or entrepreneur out there watching this right now. You can go any direction you want to. Life, health, spirituality, doesn't matter. Three killer tips.
I mean, number one, definitely look at personal development for yourself, because as you expand, like, I have to expand again this year to go from 3 million to 7 million. I'm not going to be the same human being as I was last year doing a $7 million company as I was doing a $3 million company. I've got to go next level. So personal development, as you expand as a CEO, as a founder, as a co-founder, your company expands. That's number one. Number two is get the right people around you, right? Like, as many advisors and people that can support you, people holding you accountable. You got to have multiple eyes on it. Don't think you can do it on your own. The more, like, I'm so blessed, like, to have you and to have all these other advisors. I had 8 investors this year, and all of them want to participate and want to help. I love that. It's like, I feel supported. I feel, like, carried to the next level, right? Like, I'm floating on clouds of genius.
Well, we're all attracted to you, right? So, or maybe on the other, some of them were attracted to your business partner. But for me personally, it's like...
Yep.
Hey, I just trust that you're going to make that work, you know?
Exactly.
So, and third one. So, third one is
put your big move that I did is I apologized again. So I apologized that one time to my team in Romania. I apologized to my entire company last year for, again, not putting them first. It's not about putting the clients first. You actually have to put your employees first. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they're the ones serving the client. So when they feel empowered and they feel trusted, you know, it's like what kills me some in the past was a support ticket coming in and the client go, I didn't get a response back from support. And I'm like, oh, support, you got to get a response back to this. Well, hold on a second. What about my team? I'm going to put them first, right? Then they feel empowered. Then they feel like their CEO or the co-founder has their back, right? That was a huge shift for our company culture. And I think a lot of people, we always hear this, like, put the clients come first, the clients come. No, your employees come first, and the clients will get served because the employees are being taken care of.
I've always had a belief, if you build your people will build the business.
Yep.
Right? Build your people, build your people, build your people. If you want a great company, you want great customers, you want great revenue, build your people, build your people, yeah. Build your people. You said something earlier and you jumped to the second one, so I didn't want to interrupt you. The first one you said was you had to expand your thinking. And there's a quote by Einstein, I'm going to botch it, but it's like the level of thinking that has gotten us to where we're at is not enough to get us to where we want to be, committed to being. The level of thinking that has gotten us to where we're at is not a high enough level to get us to where we are committed to be.
Yep.
So when I think of people out there, where are you committed to be? Not want, not hope. Where the fuck are you committed to be? Well, that the level of thinking that I have right now is not enough. The level of thinking that you have right now is not enough. Because if it was, we'd already be there,
yeah.
Right? So that's why we do growth. That's why we do masterminds. That's why we read books. So that's why we do podcasts or listen to them or watch them or attend events or so on and so forth. So those three were plug into growth and development, I think was your number one.
Yep.
Number two was build a great team around you of peers, advisors, investors, inner circle. And then number three, what's number three? Build a team. Love on the team.
Build the team, put the team first, yeah. Invest in your people. You know, put team above clients because the team will serve the clients. And I got to give one more shout out.
Yeah, please.
When I talk about like development and coaching and like great people around me, I have one individual, Mario, who's on my team, who is somebody that came to me as an employee and said, I believe in your leadership. I believe in you being a visionary. And he's supported me for 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only person that has stood behind me for 6 years, seeing me as somebody greater than I am as a leader. And I think having somebody like that in your corner, not only has he been in my corner creating that for me, but he's also coached me every week. So every week we get on a call looking at like where I'm getting stopped, where I'm out of integrity, what's missing, what am I not doing? And he's coaching me on that. And that's key.
Yeah.
Is to like have that ongoing.
Shout out Mario. Well, the last thing I was going to say is tell everyone about Real Greater. Tell us about Instacart. Tell us about your current company that's about to go do 7 milli in sales in 2023.
Absolutely. So it all started, I'll give the quick backstory. My mom was a realtor. She was struggling with technology, just like all of her friends were. I came home from college, started helping her. Biggest question I got is, how am I doing on the internet? So Real Greater measure, manages, and maximizes your digital presence. And what we do is we built a grading platform, kind of like Credit Karma would give you a credit score. We give you your Real Greater grade on how you're doing online, how you're doing on Google, how you're doing on Facebook, how you're doing on Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, Realtor.com, Zillow, Homes.com, all the places a realtor needs to be. So once we built that scoring platform, we realized all the mistakes they're making, and even the top producers are making tons of mistakes. So we built a solution to fix all of that for them. We organized their digital chaos, and then we created... A digital,
it's a great line.
Yeah. Which we've seen all the time.
Organize my digital chaos, Lee. Come on.
So once we organized our digital chaos, we needed a place for them to share it. So we were fortunate enough to listen to our clients, and they said, I need all this stuff put in one place. So we built a digital business card, yep, called the Instacart.
I got one.
He's got one. We just did a deal with the Miami Association of Realtors. So now every member in Miami Association has one, and we're expanding that nationwide. And besides that, we've also created what we call the influencer program. And that's what we're launching this year. The influencer program is to support all these agents that really, you know, understand social media, understand the importance, but don't know what to do,
yeah,
or understand Google and online reputation reviews, but don't know what to do. We're supporting them to become influencers,
yeah,
through our coaching program and our training and our tools. And we're expanding that, you know, nationwide as well.
Where do they find you?
RealGrader.com on Instagram, Alex.Montalenti, and on TikTok as well.
And everybody, can they get right now on Instacart, or they got to be a real estate agent? It's a way for anyone.
They can get a free trial at GetInstacart.com, and they can get their free grade at RealGrader.com.
I love it. Well, guys, kick-ass episode number 21, Forged by Fire, Alex Montalenti in the house. We got a chance to hear multiple stories. I wanted to add that story in there about the car crash into the cemetery, because that's about as symbolic as a story as I've ever heard. But the real fire being, and I almost threw in the towel, and I almost got a job. Now he's here, killing it, about to make a run to 10 million a month in sales in the next 24 months as a SaaS model. That's big. And I'm just grateful that you'd be here, to be your friend, to be a partner with you, and to be able to have a chance to work together with you. And
hey, man. Thank you.
Everyone watching this, if this was of value to you, just share it, get it out there. You know, share anything that you can that impacts your life or that feels good to your heart. And, you know, I hope each and every one of you guys take something away from this episode. Drop something in the comments, hit the like, do the thing. It's episode 21, out.